السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته ما شاء الله the gathering looks very beautiful I just have a kind request if you all can please come a bit closer to make the gathering look more complete and more beautiful inshallah ta'ala like the gatherings of the sahaba radwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in and our prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam jazakumullah khair may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you all with the highest darajat in Jannah ameen بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلي وسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وقال تعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى أيضا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector, and curer. We ask Allah azza wa jal to shower his choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. O slaves of Allah, O children of Adam, I advise myself firstly and then all of you all seated here to adopt a life of taqwa. And that is to fear Allah Azza wa Jal, our powerful maker, and to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during every single second of our lives if we wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, from the ahlu taqwa. Ameen. And may He open the doors of goodness and grant us high stages in Jannah. Ameen. The topic for today is the world of the jinn. And I think a lot of people are interested in the jinn. Because if you look at this universe, if you look around you, you see so many of the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just not us alone. We are not alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created so many mysteries, so many secrets at times in this huge and vast universe. Allahu Akbar. You all are in Maldives, mashallah. Allah blessed us with the opportunity of going in a submarine a few days back. And also a little bit of snorkeling and diving and all those things. So the thing is, when you, and you all have better experience than me, when you go underwater, look at the amazing creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are astounded. You think that, okay, we are kind of dominating the earth. But when you go underwater into the depths of the ocean, you see so many varieties of fish. So many creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar, you are astounded, you are amazed at the power and the grandeur of our maker, Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, when you look at the universe, the planets, the stars, the moon, the sun, and other creations, animals, so many creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This universe is full of mysteries and secrets. And we are still yet in the process of unraveling them one by one according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We as human beings, we live in the lap of these secret or unknown forces and mysteries. Today we live in the era of technology, in the era of the World Wide Web, where today seated here, I can put up a, I can send a tweet out to the world saying I'm seated in Masjid Furqan. We're living in such a, such an advanced era and time. But say, for example, rewind back around 50 years back, 100 years back, if you were to tell someone, you know, there'll be something called Facebook. You put up a status and someone on the other corner of the world, he or she will be able to read the status in a matter of seconds. You send out a Viber message, it goes out in a matter of seconds. That person 50 years back, he would say, I think, brother, you are a bit wonky. They can't believe it. Because it was something long time back. Likewise, perhaps in the future we may find out things that we may find it a little difficult to believe now and in this time and era. Now moving on to the creation of the jinn. Today you have people who negate jinn, who negate the jinn. They say there is nothing known as jinn. It's all old wives' tales, it's old stories. Nothing to believe in the jinn. And that's because there is a battle in their minds. Aql versus naql. Allahu Akbar. Aql versus naql. Today, we try to put our logic and our reasoning into every single thing. Why isn't it like this? Why isn't it like that? Or why can't I understand this? It does not make sense to me. My dear brothers in Islam, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not based on our logic. It's not based on our logic. Therefore, when we talk about things of the unseen world, these are all from the unseen world. Jinn, the malaika, all of these things are from the unseen world. We cannot apply our logic, nor can we bring about fancy stories based on our logic or rumors or what we hear. We cannot do that in regard to all of these things. But rather, we have to base our knowledge upon the two sources. Upon the two sources. The Quran and the authentic sunnah of our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Based on these two sources, we can try to understand things. But wherever the Quran and the sunnah stop, we also must stop there. We must not take a step further, try to put our minds, our logic, our reasoning into it, and try to think, if I do it this way, if I do it that way, or I think this may be the correct way, I think that may be the correct way. No. We can't do all of that with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we as human beings have very weak minds, very weak minds. We think, some of us may think, you know, I'm so intelligent, I can understand so many things, I can calculate so many problems in a matter of seconds. I'm so intelligent. How can you tell me that I've got a weak mind? Allah Azza wa Jal poses a challenge, almost a challenge in the Quran. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And they will ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about what? عَنِ الرُّوحِ, about the soul. Today we live in such an advanced era. What have the scientists or the researchers, the professors, the doctors, what have they found out about the ruh? Do they know anything about the ruh? About this soul which is within us? Have they found a cure for death? Can anyone escape death? All of this, we can't understand. You and I, we all have souls. But we can't see our souls. We know for a fact the minute the soul leaves the body, that individual dies. But where is the soul? You have ultra scan, you have so many 3D, 2D, 4D, you have so many types of equipment. But can anybody see the soul? Has anybody done any extensive or solid research about the soul? Allah Azza wa Jal states in the Quran, قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. What is the soul? It is from the commandments of your Lord or the matters of your Lord. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Allah, our maker, he states, You all have not been given in terms of knowledge except a very, very little. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Khadir, two very, very knowledgeable individuals. What happens in that story? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he goes to meet Khadir. Why? Because Allah azza wa jal commanded him to go and meet him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that there is a person even more knowledgeable than you, O Musa. Go and meet him. He, as a student of knowledge, he goes to meet Khadir. What happens? They get on top of the boat and they're traveling. They undertake a sea journey. And then Khadir notices a bird at the edge of the boat. And then he informs Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, "Oh Musa, look at that bird. The knowledge that you and I have been given, that knowledge, in comparison to the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allahu Akbar, is like the tiny drop of water that the bird takes in its beak from the ocean. Our knowledge is that tiny drop of water. The knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the vast ocean. Allahu Akbar. Our knowledge, and we're not talking about you and I, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Khadir. Look at their knowledge. Allahu Akbar. Khadir knew things that Allah Azza wa Jal had revealed or made known to him. Things from the unseen world. You know the story that is mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf. In comparison, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like the ocean, much, much more vaster than the ocean too. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of understanding for us. So from this, my dear brothers in Islam, we come to a conclusion that human intelligence, human discovery is limited. Is limited. There is a cap to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Luqman, وَلَوْ أَنَّمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ أَقْلَامٌ وَالْبَحْرُ يَمُدُّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُرٍ مَا نَفِدَتْ كَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. If all the trees on this planet were made into pens, if all the trees, just imagine, close your eyes and imagine, all the trees on the face of this planet were made into trees, and all the oceans, not one ocean, all the oceans turned into ink, the words of Allah will never ever be exhausted. You will never ever be able to write all of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at how powerful a maker we are subject to. Allahu Akbar. Allah Azza wa Jal. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna Allah azizun hakeem. Allah Azza wa Jal is the most exalted, and Allah Azza wa Jal is the most wise. Allahu Akbar. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, these are a few points that I wish to touch on before delving into the world of the jinn, because these are things that need to be put right. Because today you have many, many stories, many superstitions. People believe in so many things, and that's why people are in so much of confusion. The minute a problem, calamity strikes them, they don't know where to turn, who to turn, what to do. It is because we have drifted so far away from the words of our powerful maker and the authentic sunnah of our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now I know this may sound a little boring, and all of you all are waiting for the, where is the jinn part? You know, we're waiting for that. Now let's start with the jinn. Yeah, so now we'll enter the world of the jinn. Wherever you travel, wherever you go, let it be any country, any city, you have stories about the jinn. I'm sure if I were to ask you all also, you all will tell me some nice stories in Mali about the jinn, huh? Wherever you go, there are fables, there are stories, there are myths, there are superstitions. People have, you know, in this particular house, there used to be a jinn, you know, in this masjid, there used to be a jinn. There are stories everywhere. Why? Because this is a widespread thing. People have different names also. I don't know what you call them in Divehi, but you have different names for them. You have, some people call them ghosts, some people call them monsters, some people call them phantoms, evil spirits. You have different names. And why all of this? Because we are dealing with a world from the worlds of the unseen. Because we have very little knowledge in regard to it. That's why there are so many stories, so many myths that have been, so many rumors that have been spread in regard to them. My beloved Shaykh, Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he states, all nations believe in the jinn. All nations, they believe in the jinn. And they have many stories to tell about the jinn, which would take a lot of time to narrate all of those stories or to try and encompass all of the stories that people tell in one book. No one, he goes on to say, no one denies the existence of the jinn except a few small groups of ignorant philosophers, doctors, scientists, etc. But in general, the masses, the people at large, most of them or almost all of them, believe that the jinn are present. To tell you all of the stories that people say, it will take time. But then there is this one story that I wish to highlight. It's a bit of a funny story, scary in a way too. So there are scholars who have done research in regard to the jinn and things like that. So when they go traveling asking people about jinn, there is this one scholar, his name is Dr. Ibrahim Kamal Adham. He writes in his book that he went to one particular locality and asked them about jinn. And they, because of their experience with jinn, they said that generally we have seen the jinn, and the jinn come in the form of a black cat or a black dog. And they, that town people, they also said, the townspeople, they said, surprisingly, the other thing that we notice is that jinn, they will, whatever form they take, they may come as a cat, dog, a human being, a beautiful woman, they may come in any form, but they will always have goat feet. You know goat feet? The feet of the goat. These are what the, this is not from the Quran and the Sunnah, alright? This is just stories. I just want to share this story with you all. So this scholar, he writes, just to highlight the amount of rumors that have been spread. So then these people, they told this scholar a story. Once there was a farmer in that town who was in his farm. He was farming late at night. He was farming, he was harvesting the crops late at night. So there was no one in his field, in his farm. There was nobody. It was him all alone in the middle of the night, and he was farming, because the next day he had to go to the market with the produce, with the harvest. Now whilst he was farming, suddenly somebody comes and taps him on the shoulder from behind. He turns behind and he sees a man. The minute he saw the man, because there is no possibility for anyone to be in the middle of the farm at that time of the night, the minute he saw this man, he was petrified. And then he looked down and he saw the man had goat feet. He had the feet of the goat. So now he knew this is a jinn. He dropped his farming tools and he ran. He was so scared, he ran. And you know, when you are scared, when you are in fear, you run like crazy. So he runs and runs and runs. And he reaches the border of his village. He runs so fast, he reaches the border of his village, where he sees a man at the border. He runs to him, "Help, help, help." The man says, "Okay, don't worry, calm down, calm down. Tell me, what is your problem? Let me help you." So he was so relieved that at least there's another someone to help me, there's another man. He goes and tells him, "You know, I was in my field, I was in the farm, I was farming, and then suddenly I saw a man who had goat feet. He is a jinn." Then this man said, "He had goat feet?" He said, "Yeah, he had goat feet. Were they like my feet?" And he shows his feet. He also had goat feet. This man almost fainted. This man almost fainted. So like this, there are many stories. There are many stories wherever you go about the jinn. So because of this, it's actually become very difficult to now filter between what is true and what is false. Some people will tell you the jinn is like this, the jinn is like that. They have so many stories. So it makes things a little difficult to differentiate between what is true and what is false. And that is why I started off at the beginning of the lecture, rely on the Quran and the authentic sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you will not go astray, my dear brother, my dear sister. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to do so. Ameen. The belief of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that if you do not believe in the jinn, you are considered a kafir. You are considered out of the fold of Islam. If you have doubts, if you think, I don't think there's something called jinn. You know why? There is a complete surah in the Noble Quran, Suratul Jinn, which talks about the jinn. If you want proof from the Quran, there is enough and more ayat that confirm the existence of the jinn. If you want proof from the authentic sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are enough and more hadith to prove to you that the jinn exists. So it is upon us believers to affirm and confirm the existence of jinn. I hope that is clear. Now we move on to the term jinn. Let's define what is this term jinn. Jinn is an Arabic term which means something hidden, something concealed. Ibn Manzoor, the famous North African lexicographer, he mentions in his famous dictionary, Lisanul Arab, the tongue of the Arabs. In that he says that jinn, this term jinn, stems from the root jannah, which means to cover, to hide, to conceal. When you say junna ank, that means something has been concealed or hidden from you. Jannahul layl, if you say jannahul layl, it means the night covered him, the night enveloped him. You know jannah, jannatul firdaus, jannah, paradise. You know why? One explanation as to why it is known as jannah is because it is hidden. Jannah is hidden. Have you seen jannah? Have I seen jannah? None of us have seen jannah. That is why it is known as jannah, because it is hidden. Janin, from the same root, janin, the fetus, the child in the womb of the mother. No one can see it at the beginning. When it's a fetus, no one can see it. It's hidden. It's hidden in the womb of the mother. That's why it is known as janin, fetus. Mijan. Mijan also comes from the same root. Mijan means shield. You know shield? The soldier or the warrior uses it on the battlefield to protect himself, to cover him from his opponent, from the enemy. So mijan is also a word that stems from the same root. So this is in regard to the definition jinn. Now a question arises. Are all of the jinn devils? Are all of the jinn devils? In other words, are all of the jinn shayateen? Are all of the jinn evil? And another question, are all of the shayateen, are all of the shaitan from the jinn? Two questions. Are all the jinn shaitan? Are all the shaitan from the jinn? No. All the jinn are not shaitan. All of the jinn are not shaitan. Nor are all of the shaitan from the jinn. Why? Because we have righteous believers from the jinn. We have righteous believers, mu'minun, from the jinn. Allah Azza wa Jal, He states in the Noble Quran,
قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا.
The first ayah of Surah Al-Jinn. Professor Sayyid Qutb, he says in his famous book, فِي ظِلَالِ الْقُرْآنِ, in the shade of the Qur'an, in regard to this particular ayah, where the translation of the ayah is, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it has been revealed to me, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying this, it has been revealed to me, قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ, that a group of the jinn, listened and they said, what did they say? إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا. Indeed, we have heard an amazing Qur'an. So, Professor Sayyid Qutb, he says that there are a few things that can be derived from this ayah. Number one, is that this ayah confirms the existence of the jinn. Allah Azza wa Jal is stating this. The jinn, they exist, number one. Number two, it confirms the ability that they can listen to the Quran in Arabic. Why? قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say that indeed a group of the jinn, they made istima', Istima in the sense they listened attentively. Sami'a yasma'u in Arabic is translated as to hear. Now, I hear the bike or the vehicle going outside. Now, I'm not listening to it attentively. I'm not listening to it very attentively. But all of you all are listening to me attentively. You all are making istima', listening attentively. You all are focused, you all are engaged, and you all are listening to me. But this, we hear this sound outside, that is sami'a yasma'u. We just hear it. The jinn, they made istima', they listened attentively. Allahu Akbar. So the second thing that can be derived from the ayah is that the jinn have the ability to listen to the Quran in Arabic. And also the third thing that can be derived from this ayah is that it confirms that the jinn were created with the potential to believe. They have the potential to bring in iman. They can bring in iman. So from that we understand, my dear brothers in Islam, that from the jinn, there are righteous jinn. There are righteous believers. So all of the shaitan are not, all of the jinn are not shaitan. You can't paint them all with one brush and say all of the jinn are evil. No. There are some good jinn. There are some neutral jinn. Just like how you have in human beings. You have pious, righteous human beings. You have human beings who are not pious, not evil. And then you have very evil human beings who sin day and night. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them and forgive all of us. Likewise in the jinnat, you have pious and righteous jinn. You have jinn who are neither pious nor evil. And then you have very evil and bad jinn. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from them. Now the second question. Are all of the shaitan jinn? No. The answer to that is also no. Because Allah Azza wa Jal states in the Noble Quran again,
وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ عَدُوًا شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِّ.
And thus, we have made for every prophet, Allah Azza wa Jal is stating this, an enemy, aduwan. Means aduwan shayatin al-insi wal-jinn. An enemy, devils from mankind, min al-jinni wal-ins. Allahu Akbar, shayatin al-insi wal-jinn. From mankind and from jinnkind. So we have devils, we have shayatin, we have shaitan from human beings also. When a human being becomes so evil, he becomes so evil that the minute you sit with him, you are enveloped with darkness. They are devilish individuals. They are individuals who have almost demonic qualities. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. So all of the shayateen are not only from the jinn, they are from the jinn as well as from mankind, as Allah Azza wa Jal states in the Noble Quran. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he states in Al-Furqan Al-Kabir that there are some righteous jinn, at times what they do, because they're very pious, they go to deserts. You have deserts where they find somebody, you know, almost dying out of thirst in the middle of the desert. They go and offer him some water and they call him towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They make da'wah. He says that. They make da'wah. And then he goes on to say in that same book of one of his personal experiences. He states that when he was imprisoned in a well in Egypt. He was imprisoned. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. When he was imprisoned in a well in Egypt, what happened was in Turkey, before his imprisonment, in Turkey he used to call people towards Islam. And whenever somebody embraced Islam, he immediately used to arrange for food and water for them. He used to arrange food and water for the person who embraced Islam. So when he was imprisoned in Egypt, what happened was in Turkey, there was a jinn, a righteous jinn, who went about calling people towards Islam under the guise of Shaykhul Islam. That jinn went and told people, I am Ibn Taymiyyah. And he made people embrace Islam. And the minute they embraced Islam, this jinn used to give food and water. So the prince of Turkey sent news to the king of Egypt that Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is doing a fantastic job in Turkey. the ruler of Egypt was surprised. And he said, how can that be when Shaykh al-Islam, when Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, is imprisoned in a well in Egypt? It cannot be Shaykh al-Islam. It cannot be Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. So after Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, came out, he informed his students of this incident. And he said, whilst I was imprisoned in a well, that was a jinn impersonating me, acting as if it was me, acting as if it was me and going around calling people. Then the students asked Shaykh al-Islam, Ya Ustad, Ya Shaykh, don't you think, could that not have been an angel? Why do you think it's a jinn? Can't it be an angel? Then Shaykh al-Islam said, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. They will never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will never ever lie. Now this jinn, he lied. He lied and he said that I am Ibn Taymiyyah, when he wasn't Ibn Taymiyyah. So that is what confirms the fact that it was a jinn. And anyway, that jinn is a righteous jinn. He did it out of the love that he had for me. This is one of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah's personal experience. Now we move on to the origin and the creation of jinn. From where did they come? Or in other words, from what they were created from, the jinn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Noble Quran, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِّنْ حَمَئٍ مَسْنُونَ وَالْجَانَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُومِ. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَئٍ مَسْنُونَ. And we did certainly create man from dried clay. Okay. وَالْجَانَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُومِ. And the jinn we created before. مِنْ قَبْلُ. So from this we understand that the jinn were created before mankind. The jinn were created before mankind. And we created the jinn from the smokeless flame of a scorching fire. Allahu Akbar. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, Ikrima, Mujahid and other scholars of tafsir, they mention that this smokeless flame is the purest and the best part of a flame. When you take the flame, the tip of the or the edge of the flame, this was the part that the jinn were created from. Now from this, do you think, now that I said that the jinn were created from fire, do you think that the jinn are like fireballs, like, you know, like a flame? What comes to your mind when you think of the jinn? You think like some fiery figure when you think of the jinn. No, that's not the case with the jinn. Even though they were created from fire, that does not mean that the jinn are fiery at all times. Just as how you and I, we have been created from clay. But does that mean that when I clap my hands or when I do this, can you see sand falling off me? Do you see sand? You don't see sand. I'm made of clay. You are made of clay, but we don't see sand. Likewise, the jinn are made of fire, but they're not fiery at all times. And we can prove this with the narration that once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the masjid, then he was praying sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what happened was, the narration goes along the lines of these words: something disturbed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he put out his hand and caught that thing. So after the salah, the Sahaba or whoever was around him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, why did you do that? What happened in salah? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that it was a jinn, a devil, that attacked me or came forward to attack me, and I held it. And in that very narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to say, I held him in such a way, he said something along the lines of these words, until I felt the coldness of his tongue on my hand. Allahu Akbar. I felt the coldness. Now do you understand? If the jinn were fiery, then your hands will burn. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I felt the coldness of his tongue on my hand. Allahu Akbar. So from this, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, we understand that the jinn are not fiery at all times. Now we have various types of jinn. And now this has been mentioned to us by the scholars, rahimahumullah, who have had different types of experiences with jinn. Now there is one type which is known as jinni. This is a general type of jinn. Any jinn, you call that jinn a jinni, a general jinn. Then you have another type known as amir, or plural ummar. These are the jinn that live with people. They live with people. We are all seated in the masjid. There could be a jinn here, you know. There could be a jinn. There could be a jinn here, there could be a jinn there, there could be jinn everywhere. And don't get scared. Why? Because they live with people. They dwell with people. They move around with people. They come to the masajid and they pray. They are in your houses. They don't harm. They just dwell with us. They live with us. They are known as that. Then you have another type known as arwah. And this type is a type that attaches itself to children. And then we have a type known as shaitan. Evil. Shaitan, evil, the devil himself. And then we have another type known as ifrit. Now this type is a very, very strong type of a jinn. It is a strong type of a jinn. It has a lot of power. It is a very powerful type of a jinn. Just as how amongst us human beings also, our strength and our stamina vary. Perhaps this brother here, he must be going to the gym and he must be really strong. And you might be a little perhaps weaker than him. Just as how we have stronger individuals in human beings, there are in the jinnat also strong and weak jinn. So ifrit is known as a very strong type of a jinn. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that the jinn are of three types. There is one type that flies through the air. There is another type that is like snakes and dogs. And there is another type that moves from one place to another. The amir, it moves from one place to another. It doesn't stay in one place. It keeps on moving. Can we see jinn? Can we see the jinn? Have any one of you all seen jinn? Allah Azza wa Jal states in the Noble Quran that إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. That the jinn, they see us, but we cannot see them. The jinn, we cannot see them. So this is a standard rule. But what we need to highlight is that we cannot see them in their original form. But they can take different forms. They can take the form of a cat. They can take the form of a human being. They can take the form of a woman, a man, an animal, a donkey. They can take various forms. So the minute they take on a form, you can see the jinn. You can see the jinn in that particular form. But when they take on that form, they actually make themselves weak. Say it takes the form of a human being, whatever applies for human beings, apply for the jinn. If they take on the form of a human being, they can't fly around. They have to walk. If they take on the form of a cat, whatever applies for the cat, applies for the jinn. When they are in their original form, they are more powerful. And they have been created from a light and dense material. A material which is not dense. Now we are created of a dense material. You and I, now if I wanted to walk through this wall, I can't walk. I'll knock the wall and I'll fall down. But the jinn, they are created of a light material, just like the malaika. So walls, doors, don't actually prevent them. They can walk through them right away. Because they have been created from such a material. Now we cannot see jinn, but can animals see jinn? Now, it is established that we cannot see. Can animals see jinn? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said in an authentic narration, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ صِيَاحَ الدِّيكَ. If you hear the crowing of the rooster, the crowing of the rooster, you know, you hear it early in the morning. فَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ فَإِنَّهُ رَأَتْ مَلَكَ. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua to Allah azza wa jal for his bounty. فَإِنَّهَا رَأَتْ مَلَكًا. Because the rooster has seen an angel. The rooster crows when the rooster sees an angel. These are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not speak out of his own desires. Whatever he speaks is divine revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith is in Muslim. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say, وَإِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ نَهِيقَ الْحِمَارِ. And if you hear the braying of a donkey, أَوْ نُبَاحَ الْكَلْبِ, or the barking of a dog, فَاسْتَعِيذُوا بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ, then seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the devil, from shaitan. فَإِنَّهَا تَرَى مَا لَا تَرَوْنَ. Because those animals, the donkey, the dog, can see what you cannot see. The donkey and the dog can see what you cannot see. So if the donkey brays or the dog barks, it is because they have seen the devil. So make isti'adha, seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from shaitan, from the accursed devil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. There is another small discussion, but I'll swiftly move because I don't want to spend too much of time, right? Now, who is shaitan? Is shaitan from the angels or is he from the jinn? Is shaitan from the angels or is he from the jinn? Now, we already said that long time back, before mankind, jinnat were created. Jinnat were created before mankind. So, shaitan was part of the jinn. He was part of the jinn and he was in this world, in dunya. He was taken up by the angels, and then you know the story, Allah Azza wa Jal commanded all of them to make sajda, to prostrate, and shaitan, he disobeyed. He disobeyed, resulting in him being cursed forever and being sentenced to Jahannam. So he is not from the angels, it is just a misconception that I wish to clear. He is from the jinn, because Allah Azza wa Jal states in the Noble Quran, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ. And remember, when we said to the angels, make sajda to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, they all prostrated except for Iblis. Kana min al jinn, he was from the jinn. Fafasaqa an amri rabbi. Fafasaqa an amri rabbi. And he disobeyed the command of his Lord. Now, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, I swiftly move on to something which is very important, and that is in regard to the disturbance of the jinn. There are actually a few other things that I wanted to touch, but I'm running out of time, and this is something I wanted to actually highlight. Can the jinn disturb human beings? Can they possess human beings? Can they disturb the dwellings or the places where we human beings inhabit, where we stay? There is a difference of opinion amongst the scholars, rahimahullah. Some scholars state no, but the majority state yes. The jinnat, they can possess human beings. They can disturb our houses. They can do all kinds of mischief. They can do all kinds of mischief, various types of mischief. But we need to be careful as what we believe in regard to all of these incidents and all of these occurrences. Now, the kinds of sicknesses and harm that the jinn can cause, number one, is intense fear. They can cause a lot of fear in our hearts. Because normally when you ask human beings, they're scared of jinn. They're scared of the jinn. And they also cause psychological and nervous diseases. Say if you're suffering a psychological problem or a nervous problem and there is no medical explanation for it. If there's no medical explanation, you go to the doctors, there's no medical explanation. The doctor says you're fine, but then you're sick. Then it can be the cause or the disturbance of a particular jinn. You have personality disorders, multiple personality disorders, bipolar disorders. All of this, if there is no medical explanation, then it could be the mischief of a particular jinn. You have hallucinations where you think you're seeing things. You don't really see it, but it looks as if you're seeing things. This also, if you don't have a proper medical explanation, it can be the cause of jinn. Also, between a man and a woman, between two spouses, suddenly hatred coming in, or suddenly, you know, they feel like splitting, they feel like going for a divorce, they want to part. If there is no proper reason, they don't know why they're doing it, it could be the mischief of a particular jinn. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. The sudden breaking up of friendships, partnerships, all of this, if there are no explanations or rational explanations to why they are splitting or why they are breaking apart, it could be the mischief of a particular jinn. Because there is a famous hadith in Muslim where Jabir radiallahu anhu states, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that shaitan, the throne of shaitan, where is the throne of shaitan? He has put it up in the sea, in the middle of the sea. Hadith is in Muslim. So he has put his throne up in the sea, and every single day he sends his troops, his armies and forces to cause corruption on the face of this earth. And every day he takes account from them, he listens to them. So each devil comes and says, I did this, I did that, you know, I caused this problem, I made this person lie, I made him commit zina, I made him commit adultery, I made him do this, I made him do that. He listens to everything, and then until one of them says, I went and I did not leave this particular husband and this particular wife until I drove a wedge in between them and until they separated. Allahu Akbar. Then the devil calls that devil and tells him, you have done the best. Now why? Because, my dear brothers in Islam, a family unit is so important in Islam. I don't have time to actually explain, but a family unit is so important. The minute two spouses break, two spouses part ways, they may think like, you know what, we are two adults, it really doesn't matter, I don't like her, she does not like me, let us part. But then children are affected. Young children, innocent children, who have done no harm to anyone, they are affected. And by that, because they were brought up in a broken home, it affects them. And they fail to become, even though there are rare cases, illa marhamallah, but in general they fail to become whole, proper individuals who will be an asset to society. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save our marriages and our families from such problems. Ameen. And then in regard to female diseases, such as infertility, where a female finds it difficult to conceive, irregularity in her menstrual periods, all of this, if there are no medical explanations, then this could be the cause of the jinn. Sexual problems, such as impotency, if you're finding it difficult to conceive, perhaps finding it difficult to consummate a sexual relationship with your spouse, if there is no medical explanation for it, it could be the tampering or the mischief of a particular jinn. And then if you find things missing in your house, things suddenly missing, tampering, your clothes missing, your valuables missing, things burning up in your house, if you don't have any rational explanation to it, it could be the mischief of a particular jinn. But we need to be careful that we don't believe every single thing. Now today we have people, they go overboard. For every little thing, it must be the jinn. It must be the jinn. You know, this has become like a waswas. Like the minute you get a small headache, I think the jinn has hit me on the head perhaps. No. Or something goes missing in the house, especially the women. They're so scared of the jinn, something goes missing, it's the jinn, jinn, jinn. So this jinn has become, even though it's, you have a rational explanation to it, people think it's the jinn. And when in reality it's not the jinn, and then what happens? You start running to various types of people trying to cure yourself from a problem that was never ever there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. And that's what we are going to touch on now. Now just in case you have a problem, say a family member, or say you yourself, if you have been affected by the jinn, you have to establish the fact that you have been affected by the jinn. You have to establish the fact. For that, how do you do it? If you have knowledge in regard to it, alhamdulillah. If not, go to the people of knowledge. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you do not know of it, go to scholars. And now when I say scholars, today, this is a very good trait. Jinn problems, very good trait. Money-making business, you know. There are a lot of people who claim to be scholars, who claim to be experts in this field, who claim to have knowledge to chase away jinnat, whilst in reality, they are not scholars, number one. And they do not have any knowledge in regard to properly curing in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah. And number three, they can be mischief makers themselves, And they can be up to all kinds of innovations and evil practices. There was once an incident where one particular lady was affected by a jinn. And she used to go to this particular person to get herself cured. This person, he was a man. He used to keep the lady alone in a room, make her dress inappropriately, and he used to touch her, look at her, all of which are haram. All of which are haram. How can a taqi, how can a righteous scholar ever behave like that? And then, you know what's the amazing part? She was cured. Now that's what we have a problem today. People say, Sheikh, you have good stories to tell. But then when we go to this so and so man in this particular island, only then we are cured. He tells us to break 1,000 eggs. Why waste 1,000 eggs? You can make 1,000 omelets with it. You break 1,000 eggs, you sacrifice this animal, you do that, you do that. And mashallah, in 1 month now I'm cured. I used to go to the sheikh who used to give me Quran ayat, but it never worked for me. I went to this man, in 1 month I'm totally fine. Now you know how that lady was cured? The jinn himself, that particular evil jinn, was sent by that man in the first place. He had an evil jinn with him. And he sent that evil jinn to disturb this woman. He himself did it. And made that woman come to him. Because he liked the woman. He wanted that woman to come to him. And when she came to him for a cure, he made her dress inappropriately. He did all kinds of things. And after having all of the fun with her, he asked the evil jinn to leave her. So she is cured now. This is the story. And this is what is happening in many places at times. The minute a person goes to an individual for a cure, that person, he studies you first. And then he finds out, this is not a jinn story. But now you are in a weak situation. You have gone to him and said, so and so, I'm having a jinn problem, all of this. He listens to your story, he asks a few details about you, and then he informs his evil qareen, his evil friend, go to that man's house and now cause mischief. And then he'll tell you, when you go home, this will happen, that will happen. Why? Because he has sent the jinn already. And then now he puts in a false cure, he cures you, and then he calls for his friend and the friend comes back, the evil jinn. Remember, my dear brothers in Islam, if it's a righteous jinn will never disturb the realm of mankind. It will never disturb. It will not come to help you out. It won't come to possess you. It won't come to disturb you. It is busy searching for its own akhirah. We are two separate worlds. You should never ever wish to disturb the realm of the jinn. Or try to befriend a jinn. Or try to make a contact with a particular jinn. No. We have much better things to do. We have to prepare for our own akhirah. And likewise, a righteous jinn will never disturb the realm of mankind. But an evil jinn or a jinn who is not righteous will disturb the realm of mankind. And these magicians, these warlocks, these witches, these soothsayers, these fortune tellers, astrologers. Today you take the newspaper you have in the corner. Your horoscope today, Scorpio is this. This is that. You are not supposed to go out tomorrow. Something may fall on your head and you may die. Do you believe in that? Haram. Shirk billah. Today you have animals that tell you the future. In India and in other countries, you have people on the road. They have parrots. Then they have other animals. You go and sit by him, he will take a pot of different types of paper written in it, quotes, and then the parrot will take out a paper. He will open the paper and say, ah, you will get a very good, beautiful wife tomorrow or in 1 month's time. Or you are going to be very rich. You are going to do this, you are going to do that. You have in all of these, I don't know, what was it? Football, FIFA. I think you all like football a lot over here. In Sri Lanka, everybody's crazy of cricket. So, football. What was it? Last time it was what? An octopus, was it? It was an octopus. An octopus predicting the future. Allahu Akbar.
And there were people, a lot of people who believed in it.
You know what you're doing? You are associating an octopus to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are associating a partner unto Allah.
Alimul ghaib is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wama tadri nafsum madha taksibu ghada. No soul knows what's going to happen tomorrow. No fortune teller, no magician. Not even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Except for the knowledge that Allah azza wa jal revealed unto him. Then how on earth can an octopus know? And this time what was it? A tortoise. I don't know. Some other animal this time.
Haram. It is haram upon us to believe. We are going out of the fold of Tawheed. We are making shirk, committing shirk, associating partners unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah save us all. And if you go to a fortune teller, a soothsayer, and if you believe in what you give your palm and he reads your palm, an astrologer, if you believe in the horoscope on the paper and you read that, you have, according to the narration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you believe in that, you have disbelieved in what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. Allahu Akbar. If you believe in that, 40 days, your prayer will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. So my dear brothers in Islam, be extremely careful where you go to seek your cure. Don't go to these magicians. Don't go to these so-called scholars. If their teachings, if their cures are not from the Quran, the only thing that you can do in regard to jinn possession, evil eye, witchcraft, black magic is ruqya from the Quran, and also if there are any other prescriptions from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you can follow that. Swiftly, I will touch on a few. Number one, to protect yourself, primarily, you must protect yourself before a jinn attacks. An evil jinn cannot attack a believer. A believer who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who makes his daily awrad, adhkar al-sabahi wal-masa, and all other adhkar, a jinn cannot attack. An evil jinn cannot attack you. The minute you drift away from that, the minute you go away from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from doing your adhkar, then you become weak, and then it is possible for an evil jinn to attack you. So you must protect yourself. You must protect yourself by making your adhkar. And just in case you are affected, quickly make tawbah. Quickly make tawbah. Do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn to Allah azza wa jal in tawbah, in repentance. Start off with that. After that, go to a pious, a righteous, trustworthy scholar. Because the more the levels of his taqwa, the quicker the cure will be applicable from him. And he will not indulge in innovations and all these blameworthy practices. He will rely on the Quran and on the pure Quran and the authentic Sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number three, attend your 5-time salawat in the masjid with Imam Jama'ah. This is number three. Number four, make your daily adhkar morning and evening, adhkar al-sabahi wal-masa. Number five, drink Zamzam water as much as possible if you have been affected. And not only by jinn, for any other sickness also, Zamzam water, according to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a blessed drink. Ma'u Zamzam, what is it? Lima shuribala. Ma'u Zamzam, the water of Zamzam is for what it is drunk for. If you intend something, if you make a dua and you drink the Zamzam water, Allah azza wa jal will make it a reality. If you drink, Ya Allah, cure me from this problem, Allah azza wa jal will cure you. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he once states that he was once in Makkah or Medina, if I'm not mistaken, and he fell sick and there was no doctor to go and consult. He drank Zamzam water as much as possible to his fill. And scholars rahimahumullah explained that you must drink until you're completely full with Zamzam water. Then the blessings are more. He used to drink Zamzam water as much as possible, praying to Allah until he was completely cured of that sickness. And henceforth, he never relied on medicine afterwards. He used to always rely on Zamzam water. With the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he used to recover from all of his sicknesses and ailments. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all too. The next thing is to read the Quran as much as possible. Have a daily wird.
say you're going to recite one juz per day, or two juz per day, or half a juz per day, make it a habit to recite it every single day. It will serve as a protection. Number three, the next, it is number six or seven, I think. You recite Surah Baqarah as much as possible. If a jinn is disturbing your house, you must recite Surah Al-Baqarah. Because the minute you recite Surah Al-Baqarah, the devil flees away. And you are offered protection for 3 days. So every 3 days, you're supposed to recite Surah Al-Baqarah. And if you are affected, try and recite Surah Al-Baqarah as much as possible. Give out as much as possible in terms of sadaqah. Because a sadaqah tutfi'ul bala. Because sadaqah removes and makes all of the calamities move away. So try and give out as much as sadaqah as possible. Offer nafil prayer, optional prayers, nafil optional fasting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make excessive dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you in your predicament, in your problem, and to cure you of your sickness. And make dhikr, remember Allah azza wa jal. Make remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stay away from innovations. Stay away from all types of bid'ah. Today we have people who sit all alone in a dark room making funny types of dhikr. Somebody has told him, you go and sit in a room and make a dhikr. You know, like a chant. It's a funny type of a dhikr. It has not been reported to us. Its meaning is distorted. And you're sitting in a dark room. It makes you more prone to being attacked by the jinn. So stay away from all innovations. Kulla bid'atin dalala. Every innovation is a misguidance. Wa kulla dalalatin finnar. And every misguidance is in the fire of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all from innovations. And likewise, stay away from people who commit innovations. You go to a person and he tells you, go and break 1,000 eggs. Go and print 1,000 copies of the devil. Go and do this. Go and do that. All of which has no basis at all from the Quran and the Sunnah. It will not cure you. You will also be part of that blameworthy practice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. Go to the scholars who are pious, who are righteous, and ask them advice and do according to what they say. Allah Azza wa Jal will help you out in your problem, because after all, they are going to advise you according to the Quran and the Sunnah. The next is two important things which many people don't know of: olive oil and ajwa dates. Olive oil, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, اِتَدِمُوا بِالزَّيْتِ وَدَّهِنُوا بِهِ فَإِنَّهُ يَخْرُجُ مِنْ شَجْرَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ. Use olive oil as a condiment with bread. Use it as a curry with bread. You can dip your bread with olive oil. وَدَّهِنُوا بِهِ. And smear it all over your body. Apply your body, all over your body with olive oil. فَإِنَّهُ يَخْرُجُ مِنْ شَجْرَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ. Because it has come out from a blessed tree, or it has been derived from a blessed tree. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Mathalu nurihi kamishkatin fiha misbah. Al misbahu fi zujaja. Al zujajatu ka annaha kawkabun durri yuqadu min shajaratin mubaraka. Mubarakatin zaytunatin la sharqiyya wa la gharbiyya. So the olive tree is a blessed tree. It's a blessed type of oil too. So in accordance with the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you smear your body with it, you can save yourself from various types of harm and evil, inshallah ta'ala. And the next is ajwa dates. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, along the lines of these words, that if you have 7 ajwa dates on an empty stomach in the morning, that will protect you from all types of poison and all types of witchcraft and evil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. And my dear brothers in Islam, seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the devil. Recite the Qul surahs as much as possible, the Mu'awwidatan and Suratul Ikhlas. Recite Ayatul Kursi as much as possible. Recite Suratul Baqarah. Recite the last two verses of Suratul Baqarah from Aman al-Rasul until the end. Make the dhikr of La ilaha illallah wahda, La sharika lah, Lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, Wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. I mentioned this even day before yesterday in the talk, that there are so many rewards in regard to this particular adhkar. If you recite it 100 times, one of that is that you will be protected from the jinn. or from the shayateen for that whole day. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. Try and remain in ablution as much as possible. Try and be in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible. Frequent the gatherings of the scholars. Frequent the gatherings of knowledge. And keep company with pious and righteous people. Refrain from unnecessary talk. Refrain from evil glances and evil gazes. And refrain from excessive eating and excessive laughter. Because all of these factors make you spiritually low. It makes your iman go down. And the minute you are spiritually low, you are weak and you will be prone to be attacked by the jinnat, the evil jinnat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. I hope with the little time that I had, I touched on things that are relevant to all of you all and to myself also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from all types of evil and from the evil of the jinnat and from the evil of witchcraft, evil eye, envy and all other forces of evil. And just as how He united us here in this beautiful masjid this evening, may He the Almighty forgive all of our sins and unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Wa akhir da'waya anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullahu khair. Subhanakullahu alhamdulillah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.